Namasheshtram Manam Api Satriputram Atra Surupam Rupam Tasya Gurajam Uruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Aho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Prahita Kripaya Shigurum Tam Natoshmi. I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose causeless mercy I have obtained the supreme holy name, the divine mantra, the service of the son of Satrimata, the association of Srila Swarup Dhammadhar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and his older brother Sanatana Goswami, the supreme abode of Mathura, the blissful abode of Brindavan, the divine Radhakund and Govardhan Hill, and the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Brindavan. Shakala Vaishnava Pade Mora Namaskara Ite Kichu Aparada Nahuka Amara Hoyachan Hoyben Prabhat Jata Bhakta Vrinda Bandanakori Shabara Charanara Vinda. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of all Vaishnavas, praying I may not commit offenses in my attempts to please them, to all Vaishnavas who have ever been, and to all Vaishnavas who will ever be. I offer my obeisances unto their divine lotus feet. I'd like to thank everyone for your very beautiful offerings. They just get better and better every year. And this is the result of the process of devotional service. That by taking up primarily the chanting of the holy names in the Sangha, in the association of devotees, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the heart actually becomes purified. Purified of the obstacles to bhakti. And our bhakti manifests in three ways, or it's directed in three ways. As Narottam Das Thakur stated in his Pratana, Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. It manifests firstly to the assembled devotees and to the spiritual preceptor, the spiritual master, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like a seed in the ground. When you plant the seed in the ground and the rains come in the springtime, then that plant, which has the possibility of producing beautiful fruits, flowers which turn into fruits, it first manifests as a little, just pops its head above the soil. This little twig, you could say, just growing up, and then it continues to grow, and then it becomes fully manifest. So, our love develops in the same way. This is why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya encouraged us to always chant the Yuga Dharma in the association of devotees to begin with. Samsara sarpadushtanam murchitanam kulo yuge asadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava shevanam. You've heard me quote this many times. That those who have been bitten by the poisonous serpent of Kali Yuga shall get relief by the herbal medicine of Asadham Bhagavan Nama. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, Srimad Vaishnava Sevanam, in the association of other devotees. The combination is very powerful. Extremely powerful. Just as we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the mercy of our spiritual master, we also understand the glories of our spiritual master in the association of God brothers and God sisters. It was so nice today. I was watching the non-envious spirit that was present today, totally non-envious spirit, that when a God brother or God sister would read their offering, then many of you were crying in appreciation. This is the non-envious spirit. When they were reading, it helped you appreciate more and develop more love for your spiritual master. Isn't that true? I could see that. This is why in the pastime of the Jarikanda forest, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan with one servant, he began chanting the holy names. And because those holy names were coming from the mouth of the Lord himself, we can imagine how much potency is there, it caused animals who were in the darkest of ignorance, as Prabhupada would say in his introductory lectures, public lectures, animals have only, their business is only four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's putting it politely. Animals have a very low existence. I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada the other day, and he was saying, take for example the dogs. A dog, when he's in trouble, can't even take shelter of his own kind. That's how miserable the life is of a dog. At least when we have trouble, we can call out to a relative, to a friend, even a stranger. If we go to the hospital, the nurse will take care of us. The doctor will show some compassion. But a dog's life, if a dog's in trouble, his own kind won't give him shelter. How miserable that existence is. So that's animal life. Prabhupada would also point out the degradation in animal life by saying the animals don't have the ability to inquire into their deeper spiritual nature, which is ultimately the source of salvation from this world. Only human beings can do that. Atato brahma jignasya. Now that you're a human being, now you can inquire, who am I? What's the purpose of life? What is death? What is God? Animals, they have no... It's a condemned existence. We think, oh, the cute puppy dog, the little birdie, the soft kitty cat. But it's condemned. It's a condemned existence. We show compassion, like in India on Govardhan Puja, they distribute prasadam to all the animals. But they can't inquire, condemned existence. So, we can hardly imagine. If we could go back in time, if there was some type of transcendental video or time machine, we might momentarily find ourselves in such a degraded condition, because since we left the spiritual world, we've been there, we've done that, according to Kaviraj Goswami. We've been in every universe, every species of life, every body you can imagine. That's why Prabhupada told my godbrother Vishnu John Swami one day, very frankly, just give this one life to Krishna. You've been everything else. Since you left the spiritual world, you've experienced everything within this material creation. You've been in every universe, every species of life, every body. And are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you feeling content? So just make an experiment, he said. Give this one life to Krishna. Just one life. You've had millions and millions and millions. Just take the risk, he said, and surrender fully to Krishna and see what happens. Had you done that before, you wouldn't be here. So you haven't done it before, so do it now. Just take this one life. It's short duration, 75, 80, and see what happens. And Maharaj did that. He was such a surrendered disciple, devotee. So that's animal existence is such a condemned thing. That's why sometimes, you know, when I'm sitting on a park bench or I'm somewhere and an insect crawls by, it kind of looks, it often brings forth laughter and jokes, but sometimes I just, the ant's there and I reach over and I go closer and I say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Or even as a cockroach on the floor next to the bed, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. We don't know how powerful that, we don't have the understanding yet, the realization, how powerful is that Maha Mantra? What benefit that living entity may get. He may be able to surpass so many different species of life, maybe even get a human form of life. Who knows? Mahaprabhu's Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. We take the chance to share the Maha Mantra with whomever we come in contact. So when Mahaprabhu was going through the Jarikanda forest, he chanted very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. And that chanting revived the dormant Krishna consciousness, which is there in the heart of every living entity, not just human beings, just there in the heart. As Rupa Goswami says, Krishna consciousness is not something that you get from some other place. It's already there in your heart. So it's there. And that became fully manifest. That's called Krishna Kripa. Sometimes there's descriptions of, there's Guru Kripa, there's Krishna Kripa. Just like Prabhupada gave Jayananda Guru Kripa. Jayananda admitted to one of my godbrothers just before passing away, he said, I'm so shameful. He said, Yogesh, I still have material desires. I've been serving a pure devotee for 7 years now. I've given my very best. I'm so shameful that I have to admit to you honestly, you're my godbrother, I still have material desires. So he passed away hearing a tape recording of Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone else was at Mangal Arati. He passed away alone. Actually, he wasn't alone, but you could say. Prabhupada was chanting. And after he left, if, as you know, I've recounted this, that Prabhupada wrote him a posthumous letter. And interestingly enough, in that letter, Prabhupada said, when you died, if you had any amount of material desire still in your heart, Krishna's very kind. You don't have to take birth on this miserable earth planet. You've gone to Svargaloka. And from Svargaloka, in that pleasant atmosphere, you can gradually understand the nature of those desires and engage in devotional service and transfer yourself to Vaikuntha. How wonderful is this process? That even if we're not successful and we haven't overcome lust or anger or greed, there's still a concession. All right, if you're still interested in those things, you haven't got the message yet, you haven't understood, okay. But go to Svargaloka, and in that atmosphere, it's a pleasant, fairly pleasant atmosphere, you'll gradually come to understand. And by engaging in devotional service, you'll go to Vaikuntha. How wonderful this process is. There's no loss or diminution, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What's more, there's always progress. In small increments, but as Confucius said, the longest journey begins with the first step. Better to be moving slowly in the right direction than running in the wrong direction. So how merciful are Guru and Gauranga. But Prabhupada said, because you were hearing the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I say you've gone to Krishna Loka. He didn't say Vaikuntha. Topmost planet, Goloka Vrindavan. I say, this is Guru Kripa. Most likely he would have gone. Like Prabhupada said one time, most of my disciples are aspiring for the heavenly planets. He was just joking. He understood our fallen nature. We're trying, but most... So that might have been the case, but what Prabhupada so much appreciated his service, Dayananda. He was driving a taxi, and the money he made from the taxi, he gave for the printing of the first Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada never forgot that. And he inaugurated Rath Yatra in San Francisco and in New York. Okay? Did it very well. Excellent service. And for that service, you could say that he wasn't around like we have been around 45, 46 years. For that service, Prabhupada felt so indebted to him that he said, you have gone to. This is Guru Kripa. Most of our progress comes from mercy, blessings. From the Vaishnavas, from the Guru, and from Krishna. We may sit properly and chant as best we can and make the best sweets, and you know, but because of our conditioned nature, there's always some imperfection there. Still, it's accepted. But really, our progress is coming by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. It's just your mercy is all that I am made of. The devotee prays. So that's Guru Kripa. And there's Krishna Kripa. Sometimes Krishna's expressed wonderfully merciful, like Kubja, the hunchback. Krishna straightened her out. And you know, she had a interesting life, but she had some sentiment for Krishna, and Krishna fanned that spark and she was delivered. Or what to speak of Putana, you know, in the theaters, like in Poland we have our productions, and Putama always makes the little kids laugh. Some of them cry when they see her, the little ones, but four and above, you know, she's got a costume and a long nose, and you know, but Putana was a Rakshasi. Putana, actually, her, like Magrari didn't take pleasure, he didn't just kill the animals for food, he took pleasure in causing them to suffer before they died. This is to help us appreciate the power of the holy names and the mercy of the spiritual master. She was her substance, her desired foodstuff was blood of children. She didn't accept blood from adults. Only her sustenance was, so she would kidnap children and suck their blood. That's the original vampire story. People like vampire stories? Nowadays, I see. We were on the plane the other day, and there were different movies people could select, but everyone in my section was watching a vampire movie. I'm thinking, I'm going to get out of here and go into economy. What happens if I fell asleep? So Putana, she, Rakshasi. Rakshasha, male, Rakshasi, like Brahmachari and Brahmacharini. Prabhupada coined this word, by the way, Brahmacharini. So she was Rakshasi, and you know, we won't go through the pastime, but you know, she gave her breast milk to Krishna, and Krishna took it. She was coming to kill him, but he took it. Oh, she's like mother, she's giving me her breast milk to maintain me. He took it like that. He's so kind. And he was sucking on her breast, and he took the milk, and he sucked out her prana, her life air, and she died. And she didn't merge into the form of the Lord. She didn't just, sometimes when you're liberated, you can you know, demons are liberated by the mercy of the Lord when they fight with him. She didn't attain a form in Vaikuntha. She became a wet nurse. It means when the mother is suckling the child and she's so busy or she's ill, there'll be another lady who has a child also who will perform the duty of suckling her the other child. It's called wet nurse. So Putana, the greatest Rakshasi, became an intimate servant of Mother Yashoda. What is this? And this story is recounted by Jiva Goswami in Tattvasandarbha. And he mentions how when Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother for how long? 17 years? Srila Vyasadeva's wife? 16 years. So he was a monist, a realized monist. Means he was a Brahmanandi. He was an impersonalist. It's all one. So inside, outside, what's the difference? He just stayed in. Why come out? It's all one. This is Shukadev. This is the Leela. When he finally came out, he had, being a realized monist, he had no interest in any material affairs, which is often characterized by family life. We fulfill our desires through family life. In Krishna consciousness, we gradually purify ourselves in family life. That's the safest way to advance in Krishna consciousness in Grihastha life, gradually giving up our desires by working cooperatively with our family to get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. But he came out, he had anything to do with this. So he was fully grown, and he wanted to go to the forest, at least to associate with other Brahmanandis. And he ran. And you can imagine mom and dad. They've been waiting 16 years for the delivery, and then he runs away. So his father started following him. Shukadev had no clothes on, because he was a avaduta. Nothing to do with this world. But because he was totally transcendental, when he ran past the lake where the young ladies were bathing, looking at him and being pious women, advanced spiritualists themselves, they could see he didn't have any material desires. They didn't bother to cover themselves in the lake. They're bathing. Ladies have their private place for bathing. The men don't go there. But on his way to the forest, he passed by. They didn't bother to cover them. They felt no danger. There was no lust. But when his father came by, Srila Vyasadeva, because he was a Grihastha, they immediately covered themselves. Of course, he was totally transcendental, but he was in that particular ashram for a particular purpose. But anyway, they saw him as a married gentleman. So Shukadeva went into the forest, and Srila Vyasadeva went back to his ashram. He was devastated, totally devastated. And he thought, how will I attract my son back home? And he understood that higher than Brahman realization was Krishna consciousness. There's three phases of realizing the absolute truth. You realize the Lord in the heart, you realize the all-pervasive nature of the Lord, and ultimately the highest realization is Krishna in the spiritual world. The other aspects are subservient to God. To Krishna, to Bhagavan. So he knew this. So he thought, because we see actually that there are a number of cases where impersonalists become devotees. The four Kumaras is another example. They were also impersonalists, but they just tasted the Tulsi leaf which had been on the foot of Lord Vishnu. That's all it took. We need a lot of mercy, a lifetime of gulabjamins and samosas and kirtan and association and bathing and radhika. They just had a tulsi leaf from the foot of the Lord. How powerful is Brindadevi, Tulsi Maharani? She's so potent. She appears in the world of men as a plant, Brindadevi. She's organizing all these pastimes, but out of her, in the spiritual realm, she comes to this world in the form of a plant. She's so merciful. That's why devotees generally chant japa in the presence of the tulsi plant. So that tulsi leaf, the four kumaras took, and they became bhaktas, devotees. So Srila Vyasadeva was, but rarely, if ever, does a devotee become an impersonalist. I haven't read that. Maybe in Kali Yuga some bewildered devotees may leave ISKCON and join some other camp or something like that, but we're speaking about realized souls. They don't become impersonalists. They don't step down. So Vyasadeva understood these things. Because he's a literal incarnation of the Lord, he's the author of the Bhagavatam, so he's the authority. So he said, took some sages, he said, you go to the forest and you chant some shlokas from Bhagavatam about the beauty of Krishna. You chant from 10th canto. Because 10th canto is like the face of the Lord, the full beauty of the Lord manifests. We start from the first canto, and we... which is the feet of the Lord, and gradually the knees, the waist, the chest. We go through first, second, third, fourth, fifth. And by the time we reach the 10th canto, it's to be understood that we have the knowledge, the jnana, and the purification is there. So when we come to the 10th canto, we won't misunderstand Krishna's Rasa Lila. First things first. So he said, you go and you chant some shlokas from 10th canto about the beauty of the personal form of Krishna. Krishna's form is all attractive. And you chant some shlokas like that. So they went and they did. They found him, Shukadev. But it didn't seem to capture, it didn't seem to pull him away and bring him into the fold of the bhakti cult, as Prabhupada would sometimes say. They came back. So then Srila Vyasadeva said, all right, you take this particular verse from Bhagavatam where it's mentioned that the she-demon Putana was delivered by the mercy of Krishna to become an intimate associate of his in Goloka Vrindavan. There's a particular verse in the 10th canto. They went, they chanted that verse. Shukadev's heart melted. How compassionate, how merciful. What is this Krishna Kripa? That this Rakshasi, and it's not just, you know, something in a theater again. She was a Rakshasi. She was a personality. She killed children. She sucked their blood. She was a witch. By the mercy, by Krishna Kripa, she became a nurse of Krishna in the spiritual world. That caused Sukadeva Goswami to go from being a realized monist to a pure devotee. He ran back into the arms of his Vaishnava father, Srila Vyasadeva. And he himself became an advocate, a preacher of the Bhagavatam. This is the Leela. We know Shuka means parrot, so in the spiritual world, Sukadeva is actually one of the two parrots, Shuka and Sari. You know, the two parrots? They're always sending the messages. That's the way. There's no fax machines or text messages. You know, there's parrots. That would be nice. And a pastoral sending, you know, throw away your phones, your iPads. Just tell the parrot. It was a fully realized soul because everything is fully conscious in the spiritual world. Even the rice, which is cooking in the pot, is fully conscious. It gets cooked, eaten, and it manifests again. That's its pastime. It's its service. Everything is fully chintamani, pakata samasu, kapaviksha, laksharvitesha, shudabirabhi. Even the ground is conscious. Everything is there for the service of Krishna. Different rasas, different relationships, servant, friend, parentalhood, but Jiva Goswami describes it, ultimately it's all serving the prominent mood, which is madhurya ras, the deepest loving, amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So one of the parrots, Sukha, Sari Sukha, he became that personality. That pastime took place just so we could understand what is Krishna Kripa. How merciful the Lord can be to. If he's that merciful to not even non-devotees, demons, rakshasis. Imagine how much we benefit by taking up the process seriously, following the rules and regulations, associating with devotees, doing seva. And that which is most dear to our hearts, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. We hardly understand, you know, we're just in the womb of mercy in this Krishna conscious movement. One time I heard Prabhupada say in Geneva, whatever happens, he said, never leave ISKCON. He said that. Never. There were some devotees leaving it then. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gur Tushvena. He's the same Krishna. But rather than appearing in his original form, bluish black like the monsoon cloud, he's taken on the the mood of Radha. In order to understand Radha's love for him, he took on the mood of Radha. And because he took on the mood of Radha, Krishna, appearing as a devotee, had the countenance of Radha, the golden color. Radha's golden. So because he had the mood, he had the countenance, right? The face is an index of the mind. So one's outer appearance is a reflection of one's inner desires. That's why I always like devotees, as far as possible, to dress as devotees, to show what is my real desire. I am a Hare Krishna devotee, and I'm proud of it. And I would like to share my understanding of Krishna consciousness with all of you people today, on the bus, on the airport terminal. When I travel like this, it's very rare that I get some agitation or some threats or something. It's always people come up. Especially in China, they respect holy people. So, master, can you... Always stopping you. Master. Like that. So, Mahaprabhu takes on the countenance of Radharani. So, and what's interesting in that verse, Kaviraj Goswami says, and we often develop that point, that just imagine how merciful is Krishna that he delivered Putana. But wait a minute. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gur Tushvena Maha. Rupa says, you're even more merciful than Krishna. What? How fortunate we are to be Gaura Bhaktas. Technically, we're Gaura Bhaktas because he's the latest incarnation. And Prabhupada said, when many instructions are given, the last instruction is the most relevant. So the Lord comes to give Dharma. He comes to give instruction. He comes to give knowledge. That knowledge is somehow abused, misinterpreted, lost. He comes to reestablish Dharma by speaking Bhagavad Gita. So, that Dharmapati, that Lord of Dharma, he has come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's even more merciful than Krishna. Wow. And that was demonstrated when he went to the Jarikanda forest. He chanted, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And that little pilot light, you know, the pilot light means there's a furnace in this house, and although you turn off the gas when you go on vacation, that pilot light's always there. It's protected by industry. They have their mechanics. It's always, but in your heart is a pilot light of prema. And it was there deep in the hearts of those animals, snakes, rabbits, chipmunks, bears, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my! Wizard of Oz. You know? Lions, tigers, and bears. Have you seen? Did you read the Wizard of Oz? Yeah, me too. Don't worry, you can say yes because I also read. The Tin Man had no heart. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. No, 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 no. Why can't I? You can if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can fly back to the spiritual sky. Prabhupada saw Krishna's humor in the antics of Charlie Chaplin, he told me. He said, I am laughing at this movie because I see Krishna. Krishna's the source of everything original, and Charlie Chaplin's humor is original. So I'm seeing Krishna. What are you seeing? I'm Charlie Chaplin. But we try to see Krishna everywhere. So these animals were very, this very degraded life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Any animals born in ignorance, live in ignorance, and die in ignorance. Mahaprabhu was so kind, he chanted, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 you know. And they became fully Krishna conscious. It's described that they were dancing in ecstasy. Now, I've seen animals dance at the circus. It's not so nice. Nowadays they don't do like that. There's been so much that PETA, for the protection of animals, that society, they pretty much stopped all that going on. But I've seen animals dance, but it's just an act. It's just because they get something to eat afterwards, basically. But these animals, they were dancing in ecstatic love of God because they were in ecstasy and it gave pleasure to their Lord to dance. Gaura, the Yuga Avatar. Again, we're Gaura Bhaktas. It's in and out society for Krishna consciousness, but you can't become Krishna conscious without the mercy of Gauranga. So we're Gaura Bhaktas. And Gaura's even more merciful. Animals are chanting and dancing. And gosh, I wish they had a video back then. Wouldn't that be nice to see that? And what's more, they were crying, one of the eight symptoms of love of God. Tears were flowing from their eyes. And they were embracing, loving embraces. And Kaviraj Goswami says this is because they give up their non-envious nature. Envy is the cardinal sin. Envy is the root cause of all our problems. What type of envy? Envy of God. And because we're envious of God, we're envious of all the creatures of God. It's not that bad. There's a positive alternative. It's because of envy we fell from the spiritual world. We've portrayed it in different ways, big fish, little fish, you know, the play, just to get the people to understand. Big fish, little fish. Little fish is envious of the big fish. There's many ways we portray it. The Catholics, they call it the cardinal sin. And Jagannanda Pandit said, Bahir Mukha. We just became just a tiny, 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 tiny fraction, not even 1%, tiny, tiny, of the living entities in the spiritual world become a little jealous because love is something you have choice. It's nothing forced upon you. Love is something spontaneous. Prema springs from the heart. It's our choice to love Krishna. Because we have the choice, that means there's yes and there's no. Otherwise, it's not choice. So somehow, some crazy fools like you and me, we said no. We became envious. Little fish, big. The UK. We try to make it Vaikuntha, but every time I come here, it's cloudy. So that envy is the cardinal sin. It's like when you have a boil. I got boils in India. I got scars to prove it in the early days. You get a boil, and it gradually builds up. And how many of you have had boils? Oh, I feel really lonely. Misery loves company. But that boil comes, and then, you know, it's just full of pus. It's like a big lump. And if you just squeeze the pus out, I'm sorry to get graphic here. We're going to get graphic, so our children should be. You squeeze it out, but that's not enough. There's a core to the, there's a core to the boil. And you have to go in with tweezers, and it's like a little core, a lump. It's where the virus resides. To take the tweezer and you pull it out, it's like a stem. This is really graphic. You feel pushed out, I'm sorry. And then when that, then you pull it, and then it heals very quickly. You put Neosporin on it very quickly. I have so much experience. When I was a kid, I had many boils too, and my babysitter, Mrs. Villas, bless her soul, I still remember her. Dark blue dress with white polka dots. This is, you know, the 40s, late 40s, early 50s. Mrs. Villas, she had an accent. I don't know where she was from. She'd take the tweezers and, okay, Brian, just hold on tight to my arm. I'm going to, I've got it. And we'd both clap. There's four more to go. Mrs. Villas. You have to get the root out. So to get out of this material world, you take the root of the cause for our being here, which is envy of Krishna. And that envy manifests for all of Krishna's parts and parcels too. The root, to pull that envy out. And Mahaprabhu did that, not with tweezers or some surgical instruments. How did he do it? With the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And that is the instrument that we can also use. It's not painful like Mrs. Villas with the tweezers. He makes that process, that surgical process, a pleasant process. Where is the surgical process present? It's never pleasant. But this is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. It's simple and it's sublime. Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. Prabhupada said in London, I heard him say it, in Seven Brewery Place. He didn't say chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Somewhere along the line, some devotee did that and it became, that's what it is now. Originally, Prabhupada said, because sublime is something more sublime than just happiness. It's like ananda, it's like bliss. You don't take the tweezers and pull out dependences and austerities and fasting and so, no, you chant, you dance in ecstasy, and you chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And when that root cause of our being here in the material is removed, when the weeds that are choking the tender creeper of bhakti devotion, which is just there in the heart but can't grow because of the weeds of lust and anger and envy, that's it, then it's free to grow. And it manifests. You become healthy again. Physically healthy, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, spiritually. Prabhupada described a process like that. You become healthy again when the roots. So, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. When I often use that term, and I always say that's a British term. I don't know if it's true, but even in America, I say, they say in London, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The Queen said that. So, yes. And there's example and there's precept. Precept means philosophy, but we need more than philosophy. We need example. That's why when you go on Sankirtan, people aren't so, they're not so tuned into the philosophy. They buy the book because they're buying you. They meet you. You're detached, you're happy, you're full of joy, you've got vigor, you're serving your guru and Krishna, Gauranga. You don't meet people like that very often. You don't find a ruby in every mountain. You don't find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You don't find sandalwood trees in every forest. You don't find sadhus in every birth. And they're more precious than any of those other commodities. And even mundane, covered people, when they come in contact with devotees, the Gaur Shakti is coming through those devotees. Mahaprabhu's mercy is coming through his representatives, all of you. Mahaprabhu said, you all become guru and save the land. Become the representative of Krishna. And they buy you. They meet you. You're different. There's something special about the Vaishnavas and by you. So, Mahaprabhu is even more merciful. He gave the example. He said, okay, they may be not going to believe this, that you can take out the root cause of material existence, the envy, and all the other bad qualities will follow it away. He then said, I better show how it works. He went to the jungle. And the animals, Kaviraj Goswami says very clearly in the text in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they gave up their envy and became non-envious creatures. And the sign was they were embracing each other in loving ecstasy. Just like today. There was no envy today. I was thinking this. There was just love. You could cut it with a knife. There was so much prema. You were so much appreciating the offerings read by each and every one of your God sisters. And I was relishing every word that was glorifying me. But not in that way, just to, as I often say it, and it was quoted in one of the offerings, just like a father enjoys seeing his children grow up, even taking over the business. Isn't it? At one point, the child takes over the business. So one day, when I leave, one astrologer told me yesterday, he said, you're going to live a very long life, Swamiji. I'm not making a real statement, but she said that. She's a very well-known astrologer. And she said, I just saw your face, and first thing I said, you're going to live a long life. Anyway, eventually, then you'll also, some of you will be sitting here. You'll take over the family business. That's the title of the book of Vaisheshika Prabhu about book distribution, our family. Our family business is to represent, be a representative of Sri Chaitanya, of our guru and Gauranga. That's our family business, to represent them and assist them in their preaching work. What makes one a qualified spiritual master? This is a good disciple. You have to be a good disciple before you can become the teacher. You have to be a good student before you can become the teacher. So it gives me so much pleasure to know that in the future, this movement will continue. Strength after strength after strength after strength. Because all of you are excellent disciples. Thank you so much. You're excellent disciples. I'm very proud of you. I understand the difficulties. I'm also a disciple of my spiritual master. I don't feel myself perfect yet, but I'm trying to become perfect for his pleasure only, so that he can use me as an instrument in his Sankirtan mission. You know, I'm ready to go on birth after birth after birth. Adi Shekhar, my dear godbrother, he told me that when he was at New Mayapur, he asked Prabhupada a very unusual question in his room in New Mayapur. He said, Srila Prabhupada, where are you going when you die? He wasn't initiated yet. He was just a new bhakta. But you know how children sometimes ask embarrassing questions when the guests are over? Or they say something, you know, Mommy, I... So he asked a question. It may not have been appropriate, but he was young and innocent, and Prabhupada answered. Adi Shekhar said, Prabhupada, where are you going when you die? And all the devotees went, you know, or maybe, well, Prabhupada's going to say that he's going to Krishna Loka. Prabhupada said, oh, yes, I've decided. When I die, I plan to go to the hellish planets to continue preaching Krishna consciousness. Can you believe that? What is the compassion of Srila Prabhupada? It becomes more and more manifest. There's Krishna, then there's Chaitanya, and then there's Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come to the Western countries. Prabhupada did, on Mahaprabhu's order and by his mercy, and he was successful, and it wasn't easy. So much compassion. So, let's go. I wouldn't mind, as long as Prabhupada's there. You know, what is the spiritual world without Prabhupada? If Prabhupada's preaching in the heaven, in the hellish... I do not know who is Krishna, how to serve Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj, which is quoting Prabhupada. There's that quote that, like a dying man looks at a picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyajati antakaliva. Whatever he meant to have. So a dying man. But I'm thinking when I go, I'm going to have pictures of Prabhupada there. Because I don't know who is Krishna. And if I'm going to know who is Krishna, if one day I'm going to be introduced to Krishna, it's Prabhupada who's going to introduce me to Krishna. He actually told that to my godbrother Bhavananda. In a moment of intimacy, he said to Bhavananda that when you get back to the spiritual world, your spiritual master is waiting for you. He receives you. And he takes your hand and he leads you into the kunja, into the forest, and he places your hand in the hand of Krishna. And then he leaves you alone in the forest with Krishna. Wow. Our future, dear devotees, is very bright. Let us always stay on the boat of ISKCON, even though the Atlantic Ocean is sometimes rough. You stay on the boat. It's suicide to jump out. Stay on the boat of transcendental knowledge. We have the human form of life. That's the boat. We have the wind, which is the Vedic literatures, and we have the Capitaine. We say in French, that is Srila Prabhupada. We stay very close to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and we're assured of going back home, back to Godhead, where every step is a dance, every word is a song, and it's a festival every day. I'm very happy to have the service of taking you under my wing as best I can and taking you to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.